joke about the recorder to recorder just getting worse, so it just... Mr. Salanta said that the handbook for Elul is Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva is divided into four sections. A Shar is the Lashon of the Rishonim, because Shar is the same way the more you use the word Baba. Baba is translated as a Shar. But, you know, if I translate the three Babas, the first gate, the second gate, and the third gate, it means the first section, third section. Each section is divided into a Baba, it's a section. So Shari Tshuva divides into four sections. The last section is about Kapora, how to get Kapora. But the first three are about Tshuva. So the first Shar tells you how to do Tshuva, like define Tshuva. So he goes through his definition of Tshuva. He has 20 Ikarim in Tshuva. The second Shar is why should you do Tshuva? He goes through six things which motivate a person to do Tshuva. And then the third Shar, which is probably the larger Shar in the Sefer, but the primary point that he wants to accomplish is to point out things he needed to do Tshuva on. His main point is to try and be more to people to things which they're not so aware of. He doesn't need to tell you they shouldn't steal. Do Tshuva on Gzela, you know. But there's examples of Gzela in the more delicate situations where people don't really realize that it's a problem. Or, alternatively, something which people don't realize how chomer it is. So he talks about the importance of the Rabbonans. He talks about, it's an only an assay, you know. So he says that the Iker, primary elements why human being was created was for assays. He goes to examples of that. So that's the point of the third Shar. I want to look at the first Shar a little bit. So before he says his Ikorim, so he says that he points out the counts of the Tshuva. The Tshuva is the tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're saying Shir Malas, that the Rosham has a concept of Slicha in order that we should have fear. Why is Slicha a source of Yira? The opposite. Slicha means I can get away with it, so I'm not so scared. Human beings make mistakes. That's the nature of the Eitzad of Rosham. Everybody's going to get things wrong. The Rosham is perfect. Human beings are not perfect. Yiyush is one of the biggest challenges. If there's a concept of tshuva and slicha, they don't have to be miyayish. With all of the year in the world, if a person is miyayish, he's stuck. And the year ends. Yes, I should correct myself, but I can't. Even if I try, it's not going to happen anyway, so I just give up. So the biggest challenge which we have is to overcome yiyush. The Rosh made each person with their nature and their nisyonos and their challenges, and those are going to come up again and again. The time a person hits these, you know, he's reached an age of some level of emotional maturity, and you know, starts understanding himself. He realizes that he comes to Yom and the Royim, and he's grappling with the same issues last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. It can get very disheartening. I have a few years on you, right? So now what? So what's supposed to happen now? So the Rosh Hashanah created tshuva. That's great, but I'm not doing tshuva. So I'm a yayish. No, the person has to understand that in the areas where there's the personal challenges, small movement is significant. That was all the Bali wants to talk about, the concept of small movement, and in our modern society, like, you know, the little accomplishments are not where you get the big publicity. And our society is big into publicity. A person, you know, he made a major change in his life, and I wish I could do that. I can't make a major change in my life. I remember I had this hargosha. I was, I don't know, 30 something. I was thinking, you know, with Rekiva, when he was 40, became Rekiva, like, you know, maybe by the time I turned 40, I'll start learning something. Turned 40, still wasn't learning anything. So now what? If you put a rekiva as your dogma, which you're going to fall short. So there's a musig of small changes. Moshe said over from the Shiridas says that the chashiva is of a small change. Is imagine you have a football field, and the football field is covered with sesame seeds. one sesame seed high. The height of the field, the cover is one sesame seed high. So they're laid out next to each other, millions of sesame seeds, right? How many sesame seeds can you put on a football field? Some of my mathematicians will get back to me exactly afterwards the numbers on that. We know the dimensions of the field. You can find out how big a sesame seed is on average and figure out how many sesame seeds you can lay out on a football field. Okay, now imagine you add another layer of sesame seeds on top. If the first layer was 3 million sesame seeds, you now have 6 million sesame seeds. You added 3 million sesame seeds. If I ask you to visualize the difference, almost no difference. You don't see a difference between the two. The height between one sesame seed high and two sesame seeds high is not very high. A human being is an extraordinary creation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's connected to every part of the Bria. So if you can imagine that a person takes himself and moves himself a mashahu higher, the whole Bria has changed. Everything the human being is connected to, all the Lamas Ol Yonim, have all changed because you made a small change. He says, and the Moshul doesn't even capture the Nimshul, because in the Moshul, the first layer remains the same. There's another layer on top of it. The human being is not like that. A small bona fide change changes the whole being. You're kind of with a shinui. One shinui changes the whole mitzvah. You're not the same person you were before. You're slightly different. Well, slightly different is significant. So elamai kapi chutz, you don't see the difference. The person has a problem with anger. So he says, listen, he has a real issue with anger. He gets angry. So he works on himself. And he reduces his anger issue. So he goes from getting angry 20 times a day, he's getting angry 15 times a day. So his wife and his family, 15, 20, person nafkamina. Klapi chutz is not noticeable. But he's a different person. He's a person who's imposed self-control upon himself. He's a person who's working on himself. He's a person who's aware that he needs to change. He's a person who's taken it to heart. He's a person who's been meshav himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I must do something different. He's been mekabel ol malchus. Perfectly? No. Are we ready for perfect kabbalas ol malchus? No. But he's not the same person. He walks into the Rosh Hashanah in Tav Shin Pei is a person who walked in Rosh Hashanah, Tav Shin Ayin Tes. But let's say he said, you know what? That's it. Kass is horrible, and he learns all the Musar Shmuzan about Kass and da 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 da. And he said, I'm going to not be Kaisan anymore. Guaranteed by Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, he's out. Why? It's not going to work. He's not going to make that this extraordinary change, a 180 change in who he is, right? I once heard a line from Rav Dov Gottlieb. You know, Chazal talk about the Musar people of different they're created under different mazalos. So the Gemara says that a person is born in Mazal Madim, so he has four choices what he can do. Mazal Madim is a person who's a shayfet. He could be a shayfet, he could be a ritzeach, he could be a moyel, and the fourth one, whatever the cheshmo, the fourth one was, right? So he says, but if he becomes a librarian, it's not a good idea. Because one day someone's going to return a book late, and now it's going to come to the letter opener, and there it goes. Because he didn't channel his kaifas. He's trying to change who he is. He's not a librarian. He doesn't fit well in the library. He's much better as a shayfet. Right? We don't want him to be a listim. The more he says his choices are a listim or a shayfet, you know, good. So listim is not a good idea, so he becomes a shayfet. But you're a person who's a dabron. Chofetz Chaim writes a lashon. One of the most heartening Chofetz Chaims that they've ever seen. Shpiras lashon. He says, he talks about the importance of shtika, and, you know, not saying lashon hara, being shoysik and shoysik and shoysik, and like pages and pages and pages and pages and pages. He says that if you're a person that doesn't work for you because you're not the type, you need to talk. But we told us to talk about some other ideas. I said, okay. Finally, now he's talking to me. Like, I had a kavur in yeshiva. Like, you know, he's nice, quiet, natal. He didn't come with silver spring. Right? That wasn't help me to read about that. I had a carver. I have a carver, close carver, who makes me look very, very stoic and quiet. And he decided, well, he talks too much. So he decided he has to do something about it. He's learning yeshiva, and he started his tinus deeper. So he became depressed. He thrives on the interface of other people. Elamai, what he has to learn, to not sometimes control, but not talk so much. So after 3 days of this tainus dibur, he was pushed almost like, you know, ready to go to the hospital. He was, so, Baruch Chodesh walked by, and he says, you know, says Pliny, he says, loizu haderech. Like that, that's the whole sentence of loizu haderech. He caught what he's doing, he caught why it doesn't fit him. He said, loizu haderech, and he went right there. That's the whole conversation was 3 words long. His name and loizu haderech. That doesn't work for you. That's not what you're supposed to do. The guy, the kaisen, is not supposed to say he's never going to get angry again. Okay, so what can you do with that? You can work on reducing it. You can work on using those moments of chaos to motivate yourself. You can realize why do certain things get you upset? Try and reduce those things. There are many different ways you can work on it, but to say, I am no longer going to speak Lashon Hara. Like this, it's a horrible thing. I learned all this mystery about Lashon Hara. I learned 3 hours a day, Shmiras Lashon, it's the worst thing in the world. I'm never going to speak Lashon Hara again. Really? I mean, honestly? That's not true. That's not emes. It's a checker. The Russian doesn't like checker. So Michalska writes, a person makes a Kabbalah which he knows he's not going to keep. Because even when he really wants to keep it, and he really means to keep it, but he can't keep it because it's not where he's holding. He's training himself in checker, not in emes. So the Russian doesn't like that. The person says, I want to make a small change, which is real. And he honestly means it. And he says, you know what, this, I think I can sustain this. And what do I need to do to sustain this? And what is the plan? What do I want to see out of this? And he really means it, and he does it, and he sets up a real plan. The person says, oh, that's Emes. You made a change. So I remember that, you know, hearing this from one of my reshivas, you know, years and years back. So I mentioned over to my wife. She says, so explain me how this works exactly. So we come to Yom HaDin, you know, and so the Malach takes the big pile of all the veras, he puts it on one side. I come and I say, for now I'm going to bench from a bencher. That's on the other side. And it works, right? Explain it to me, please. Like, how does that work? From now I'm going to bench from a bencher. Like, I have problems with Kabbalah because of Mosin. In those days, it was going around Rav Shach with his Kabbalah for whatever year it was, like, I don't know, 1982, was he's going to bench from a bencher. That was his Kabbalah for the year. So you see the small Kabbalahs. So I said, explain it to me, please. Like, what does that do? Like, you know, you have this all, like, you know, Lashon Hara and Ala Veiris that you can pile up on one side and benching from a bencher. The person says, wow, benching from a bencher. So I wondered, once upon a rebellion, he said, you buy a house, you know, in one of these more expensive areas, right? So the house costs $1 million. You know $1 million? You're not near $1 million. You'll never have $1 million holding your hand in your whole lifetime, maybe, you know. Aggregate, maybe, even, but, you know. But you make a down payment with a commitment. I'm not saying that I'm giving up on these things. I'm saying that I can't deal with everything in one shot, one time. The guy who's saying I'm reducing my cost from 20 to 15 is not saying I'm staying at 15. Yes, he has a lifetime goal to get to zero. That's a beautiful goal. It doesn't have to capture it overnight. But if you change the direction that you're going, the Russian says, I'm interested. The bank says we're willing to work with you because you see that you have a long 30-year commitment. Remember when I signed my mortgage? It's pushed like I'm an Ebenezer for the next 30 years. That's what it felt like. 360 payments. They show you how each payment, you know, and they're very good because the interest is, they make it interest heavy. So you borrow, let's say, $1,000. That's a hell of a bite, right? You borrow $1,000. You're paying $1,000 a month on your mortgage. So the first payment is $998 of interest and $2 of the actual value of the house. The next payment is $997.57 of interest and $2.43 of. So after 5 years, you paid off $2,000 of your house. But at the end, it starts speeding up. Like I can't look at this. So I flip to the last page, you know. Over there, you know, you're paying the last payments. You know, there's $998 of the and $2 of interest. Momentum is a significant thing, as long as you keep to it. Yeah, but it's a long-term commitment. But at the moment, you feel like an Evan Nirtzah. You're signing up for the next 30 years of my life. I'm committing to make this payment. Yes, where are Evan Nirtzah to Kodesh Baruch Hu? But the mortgage payment is a basic commitment. But it's Hashem, yes. But we're making a commitment to make a change over a long period of time. Rosh should give us langa yarden, we should be zaychad arichas yamin, and we should talk and use them. The Rosh didn't put us in this world that we should change our biggest challenges overnight, over a year. He says he wants us to recognize them, and he wants us to make concrete steps toward the right direction. Navi Hosea is we read from Navi Hosea, because I'll say when Navi Hosea came to Sheva, Reuven was Pesach B'Tshuva. So Leib Chatzman says that Reuven was Pesach B'Tshuva. We know the Marishan the Tshuva, Mr. Shadim Hashab is the Marishan the Tshuva, we know that Kain the Tshuva, he's the first one to introduce Tshuva. So what did Reuven introduce which wasn't there beforehand? So Leib Chatzman says that until then, people did tshuva on an avera, which is a significant part of tshuva. He says, imagine a person he gets on a boat and the boat's going. He says he needs to travel to X. Gets on the boat. And the boat is supposed to be going. He's supposed to be taking the boat which is going to the east. And he realizes after going there, the boat's going to the other direction. It's going west. He says, no problem. He gets on the boat and he starts walking east on the boat. So he's moving east now. He says, Duma dein Mizrach geht weiter, Mariv. He says, you're still going west. You're not going to counterbalance that. He says, Reuven did tshuva on the Midah. He recognized he has the issue of Behilus, Pachas Kamayim, Al Tosar. He was trying to do, he was also Sakav Tanisa, making decisions with more forethought. See, he wasn't trying to correct the Veri. He insulted his father. That wasn't the problem. That was the manifestation. The problem was he has a problem with Pachas Kamayim Al Tosa. He has Behilus. He doesn't think before he's doing something. So Al Rishon did a Chet, he did Tshuva on the Chet. Kain did a Chet, he did Tshuva on the Chet. Reuven changed who he is. That's why we're here in this world. That which we do wrong is manifestations of who we are. Most of the time. And it's a very big challenge. The guys are dating, you know, to come and talk about, you know, going out with somebody. They like this, they don't like that. I said, usually they come in package deals. People's milos are the chesronos. That's how people work. You're a person who's very organized and very thought out. And so there's no spontaneity. So you want this spontaneous wife who also is very organized and very that, you know, and she loves to run, just to drop a hat and go out and have something exciting to do, but she also makes sure the house is very clean and very masuder. Like, and Rebbetzin so-and-so could do that, so she could too, right? You know, Rebbetzin so-and-so is like 65 years old, you know, this is a 19-year-old woman, what do you want from her? He says, you're not like that either. We come, each person, Russian gave us a unique personality, which comes with Milas. And that's the strengths that we can use, but that package also comes with things which we need to work and to fix. We need to not use those milas properly. It's not to throw out the milas. The person who's born in Malz Madim shouldn't become a librarian. He has to learn to channel those kaitas in a positive way. Sublimate is the English word. Right? But he also has to reduce the times it's used negatively. Both elements have to be used. So a person has a plan. So a person is talking, a person who talks a lot. I won't say too much. He's verbose, right? All right. So that's a good mind. He makes people happy. He connects with people. He's the more says that there's a benolam haba here in the shuk. SLEO, yeah, these two people. What do they do? They're anshi bedichin or not? We're happy people. We make jokes. We make people happy. That's a benolam haba. It's a good gazach. Can you imagine having the guy as a Rebbe in your shir? You'd be the Rebbe and have the guy in the shir, it could drive you crazy. Right? This guy making jokes all the time. He's a ben olam haba, you know, I'm not a my heshbon, you know, like, you know. Can you imagine having a Rebbe today? That's a definition. But like, right? So, yeah, it's a mile, it's also a chesaron. So when we look at our chesroinus, we have to be very careful not to understand his only chesroinus. The person who is a kaisen means he has a very strong sense of justice. He has a very strong sense of right and wrong. He understands that there's expectations in people. He understands that people deserve to be treated in a certain way. And he shows me they deserve to be treated in a certain way. All anger comes from expectations which weren't met. All anger comes from expectations which weren't met. it should have been like this, and it wasn't. I'm upset. But why should it have been like that? Mehekel Tesi. So sometimes he has an inflated understanding of who he is. That's a lot of times. But the musig that there's... okay, so take that understanding and apply it for other people also. You can be a very passionate person who can move things because you really take things very seriously. There's a concept of justice in the room. So just, I'm going to be my cause. It's not going to work because that's just like trying to push, take the spring and you press it down, you know. You press. You know, how many of you have ever done a tiny steeper? How much do you talk the next day? Double, okay, yeah, right? You take a spring. Now, a person who's by nature quiet, it's not a good, that doesn't happen. A person by nature is more talkative. That's what happens. You're taking it, you compress it, it's going to plots. And when it plots, is, you know, you take that spring, you press it, and it goes, flies out like the jack in the box, you know. So the kites are just, I'm just going to control myself. That's not realistic. I can work on understanding why Kass is wrong, it's the Melavodah Zorah, etc. But why Hekalation should be about me? Okay, maybe I can use my Kass for somebody else. There's people, downtrodden people, there's Yisrael, there's Amonis, there's Bachar and Yeshiva which need help, and people take advantage of them. I can stand up for them, and there's all Gemilas in it. So the Bereshit created this Musig of human beings can change. Can you imagine we'd be stuck in a world we cannot change? You know how depressing that would be? This is the way you come, and you're stuck. It'd be so sad. You come to Yeshiva, Rebbe writes this aura that a person comes to Yeshiva, one of the biggest challenges in Yeshiva is Kino. The verse is that Kino, Pesach says, Rekha with some is Kino. Rekha, Rebbe writes, the person's atzmius, who I am, my whole being feels withered. I look at myself, you know, the guy next to me, he's a better Zikar than I do. The guy over here, he's a bigger Lamdan than me. This guy over here, he's a bigger Masvid over here. This guy over here, Davin's nice. This guy's a bigger Balkhassid. After a while, you just think, what am I? I'm the guy who's deficient in every single one. So the Bereshit created, this is my notes, it doesn't say this. The Bereshit created, the Bereshit's antidote to Kina is a Jewish mother. Jewish mother's job is to say, my Yankel is the God's gift to mankind. There's nobody like my Yankel. My Yankel was haste! You know, like, she goes home every night to your mommy. Mommy says, ah, Yankel, it's so good to see you. Mama, you're so gabaldic. In Yeshiva, you don't have it. You stay in the dorm all the time. So now what? So all you do, you stay with the same people 24/7. You see how you're not as big as a Lamdan as this guy. You're not as big as a Masman as this guy. You're not as big as a Zakran as this guy. And it wears away at you until you feel like you have nothing. But what you're doing is you're looking at everybody else's miles. Everybody else is not seeing your miles. It's Rekabat Sam. It's Pasha Atzmius of the person. It's withering away. Who you are as your Atzmius is withering away. That's the biggest challenge. A person looks back and says, you know, where do you get your goals? Where do you get your goalposts? So, can I say, so, I can do it too. The person comes to do tshuva, what is he setting his goalposts based on? So he looks at the people around him, he sets his goalposts. It's so depressing because those things probably don't work for you. So talking those things, you're not going to change. And hurrah, you try to last, it didn't work. I have one Talmud who doesn't come to my shmuzin during Elul. So I can't deal with tshuva. I just can't deal with it. Then tshuva, I tried so many times, it doesn't work. Get older, I'm done. I can't deal with it. I prefer listening to a Karbach thing or something. I just anything. Not a shmuz. It's so depressing. What's the problem? He's making the goalposts for himself based on everybody else around him. So yeah, I don't blame you. Those are things probably that you are not going to accomplish. The person didn't make you like that. Bechira, every person can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. It could be like, you know, Yavam and Navat. He can go to be the greatest. He can be the smallest. He can become whatever he wants. I'm not answering the philosophical question. You know, but practically, that's not the game for you. The Bereshit made each person... He gets his din levado, as Rebbe said, he gets his din levado, because he's judged against nobody in the world but himself, because that's the only person which really is defining him. your milus and your kasranus, and who you could be. The famous line they say, I'm not going to be asked, why wasn't I so-and-so Rezisha? I'm going to ask, why wasn't I Zisha? That's the only question you're going to have to answer. So that's the question I'm scared of. But we have a lot of chinuch, like, you know, that they're standardized. You know, everything's got to work on Lashon Hara. That's a true statement. Everybody has to work on Lashon Hara differently. One person's motivation for the Chofetz Chaim goes through seven things which a person doesn't speak Lashon Hara. Each one has a different one of those. Now, if you do math, right, and you imagine that there's seven reasons why people speak Lashon Hara, let's say. And each one of those, you can have it more intensely or more, you know, less intensely. See, we'll give each one, they can be Madrega's 1 through 10. So you have seven different variables, each one can be Madrega's 1 to 10. How many different possibilities, combinations do you have? Do the math. But, right, that's a lot. There's only one Madrega, there's only 1 to 10, what about 1 to 100? What about the seven that he talked about over there? But he talked about, there's another 15 other things. So there's 27 reasons why people might speak Lashon Hara, and each one you could have, and different reasons, and Madrega's intensity of 1 to 100. So there's trillion possible combinations, and each person has it looks like that. So the way the guy next to you works on Lashon Hara is not the way you look on Lashon Hara. The person next to you works on Gaiva, that's the way you work on Gaiva. The way you work on Tefillah, the other person works on Tefillah. The way you work on Shris HaNaim, the way you work on Hatzmada, whatever it is, each person is different. One of the advantages of being a Rebbe is after a while you get to know that. You get to see, like, you see so many different wonderful people walking through the doors of your Moses over a period of years, and each one is different. And each one needs a different Hadracha. Theoretically, you need, like, you know, a hundred set of rules to make yeshiva function properly for each Talmud. Society doesn't work like that because we live in a society. Yes, we have certain standards, right? So this madrega, this person's avoid of tznius, is a person. Another different person's avoid of tznius is different. For him, I make the rule that, you know, that he should make sure that he walks around with his hands covered. Like that's, he should have a madrega of his tznius. This guy halvai, he should keep his elbows covered. You know. Yeah, but if we're measuring something against everybody else, it's very depressing. The answer is you have to measure something against yourself, and yourself, you have miles, you have concerns, and you could move forward. That's the first step. The Torah says, "Hate Hashem Yisbarach Bruav Kehecha Maderach Lalus Mitoch Pachas Maseim LoNodnus Mipach Pishayim." The Rishon gave us a vehicle. The Rishon gave us a vehicle that we can change. We're not set in stone. During the years of yeshiva, I think is the most extraordinary changes. Some of you guys are already, you know, a bit older. You're already jaded at this point. It's hard to change. Look around. The boys that you knew at the age of 13 and what they look like when they're 18. Mendel has a great line that says about the boys that come to yeshiva. Maybe not so better, but, you know, he says, you know, when they come in the 7th grade, they're like malachim. Mamash, like this sweet little zisa, edel malachim, etc. He says, by the time they're 9th grade, they're like malachim Kabbalah. And by the time they're 12th grade, they become human beings. They become menschen. There's another line that says, you know, they say when they're very young, they say, they're so, you know, you could, so zisa, you could eat them. And they turn old, you ask yourself, why didn't you? They change. They mature. They grow. They realize that it's understanding. So it has to stop at 18. All of a sudden, like 18, you're shen fartig for Lebanon. No. The guy's 21. He's also changing. So you know what? From the age of 50 to the age of 60, you could also change. Sometimes you have options. And the last point, the process of growth is not this beautiful curve which is upwards. There was a study which they did. I read this about a while back, that on the stock market, that if you take a person would buy any stock on the major stock exchanges from the year 1900 to the year 2000, 100 year span, they hold the stock for 10 years. Any stock, unless the company went bankrupt, the value of the stock went up, including through the Great Depression. means if a person bought something in 1920, he held to 1930. Even with the great crash in 1929, it still was worth more than 1920. But if you try and time the market, you're almost always going to lose. Because it goes like this. It goes up and down. It's not this beautiful, smooth curve. Yeah, I'm going to control myself and, you know, I'm going to have stops and starts. That's part of what you're committing to. You're committing to, and it's very depressing. It's very frustrating. And you want to change. You don't want to. I blew it again. I'm selling out. That's when the market starts going down. People sell. That's the worst time to sell. Unless you think that the whole thing's going to go bankrupt, which I hope you don't do that. I don't mean the money. I mean yourself. So you're vulnerable. So you made a mistake. I don't know. But sometimes that's the biggest motivation and that's the biggest push that you need to go, get over the next hill. I'm so frustrated with myself. I wish I hadn't done that. How much pain I caused. And how can I do that? So that maybe that's the biggest motivation, which will make sure that you won't do it again. So the biggest fall can sometimes be your biggest yeshua. But if you say, I'm yayish, yish, then you're taka lost. Okay, so we got through I wanted to go through the whole first shahr. I'm known to have eyes which are bigger than my stomach. We got through the first three lines. Okay. We made a household.